I guess our recording has started. This is the first Midnight in the Marshaverse that I've recorded, and so we're still working things out. You know, however, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but we're doing it now. And so I had started it and screwed it up, and now everybody is waiting on me to get it right. So welcome to the Marshaverse. This is a place in the rest of the universe where I come to make shit make sense. You know, it's like we're not discovering the wheel. We're not reinventing nothing. We're like just doing a little social anthropology, you know, where you dig something up out of the ground and then have to make it make sense. Well, that's how I look at the things that are in the news, the things that are all on my social media. It's like, how do you make this make sense? And so I add my little comediosophy and sheology to the mix and give it my own little spin and figure out how it's supposed to go. Now, welcome. We're going to get into some of that. But part of the Marshaverse is the requirement to chill. This is where you come to chill. And we don't have a lot of places in our world today where we actually take time to chill. We don't chill on vacation. We don't chill when we get home. We have more and more things to do. Everything is coming at you in 5-10 second intervals. Do you have diarrhea? Get this while you run into the kitchen to make dinner and all that kind of stuff. So this is a nice, perfect time between today and tomorrow to just take a little time, sit back, have a little cannabis and cognac, if that's what your relaxation of choice. If not, have some cookies and milk. I don't give a fuck what you have. I'm having cannabis and cognac. I have my cannabis right here. And I'm about to pour some cognac. And now to tell you, this is the cognac tonight is White Henny. And this is the drink that got me married. When I met my wife, she had just come back from the Caribbean and she saw me on stage drinking cognac and said, "Do you drink White Henny?" And I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And she said, "You can only get it in the islands," and I brought some back, and I'll give you some. I have an extra bottle, and so I tasted it, and that was it. I got married 5 years later, but that's a whole nother story for a whole nother time. So I figured in to bless this this new beginning, I'd start with a little White Henny in a free glass. I love free glasses and cups. And so when I go somewhere and they have free glasses, you know, it can say anything. I don't care. It can say hell train. There you go. So this is one of those free glasses you get as a perk when you're a stand-up comedian and they ain't paying you much. It's pretty good. Anyway, so now that we're here to chill, then there are things we need to talk about. In a minute, I'm going to bring in my, and I guess they're my sons. They're my comedy sons that have, we've been working together for, ever since I came back to doing stand-up. And when I had a residency at the LA Comedy Club on Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. And one of these young men was the host of the show and the other was the feature act. And they've gone on to do some great stuff. They're working all the time. I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud they're here with me. And they're going to join me in a little while for some crazy. And I don't think either of them does cannabis and cognac. They do whatever they do. I think one my sons is into like ginger snaps or some shit, but that's his shit, you know, and I don't judge. And then we have the voice of God. The voice of God is better known as Breeze. Breeze is unseen and is running shit. And he is also, see, all of these guys also do different other things. And I'll let you know as we go on. Breeze is not an engineer or nothing. He's my graphics guy who makes all the pretty graphics and stuff and has done some amazing work for the Book of Marcia, my stand-up show that I hope to be able to bring y'all real soon and get that up and running. But the work he's done for that has made, you know, my shit funnier. And not just funnier, it's like, I like to say that my act, you know, as I plan it, is like a paint by numbers canvas. I have an outline. I know what I want to do, but there's no shading. There are no colors. But he's given me colors and backdrops for my stand-up, and it's just made it. So anyway, we keep him hidden because I don't want nobody knowing who he is. And so he's just going to be running shit, making sure we stay on time and adding any, you know, pictures and stuff that we might have as we go along. So hi, Breeze.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Now go away. Okay.
Bye, Marcia.
Bye. I'm going to bring them out in a little while. But I wanted to talk about a lot of shit. And I had notes and everything because I was trying to be professional. A lot of times when I do these things, I just start talking and whatever the fuck happens. But I'm trying to find the notes I've made and I can't find them because I'm old and this technology stuff is just a little much for me. Not true. But anyway, I don't have those notes yet. But I did want to say, are we ready to show them Breeze, Voice of God? Who is sponsoring our show?
Yeah, let me see if I can do this real quick. If I do a
okay, business. I want you to know that our show is brought to you by Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasoning, lima bean casserole in a can. This is. Our wonderful sponsor, and we're so nice, so happy to have Karen sponsoring us quietly for once. And this is especially for lima beans, and you know who you are. This is probably the best meal you guys will have. So, and especially in prison, where a lot of lima beans will probably be. We'll explain all of this later, but I'd like to thank the people at Suburban Seasonings for sponsoring this show and for the recipe for lima bean casserole in a can. Just add Velveeta and you'll have a meal fit for the suburbs. And get a big jar of Suburban Seasonings. It's basically a box with nothing in it. So we're gonna talk about some things. I'm wearing my Black Yankees Negro League jersey because in honor of Major League Baseball finally incorporating Negro League stats into the baseball records, and people are finally getting their due and their recognition. I'm so happy about that. I got this when I went to the Negro League Museum in Kansas City, and it was one of the stops on when I'm on the road. I like to go to Black history museums and see the history of African Americans in the town I happen to be visiting. And so the Negro League Museum is next door to the Jazz Museum in Kansas City, which is right next door to a barbecue place, because everything in Kansas City is a barbecue place. They have barbecue church. Everything is when you in the air, when you approach Kansas City, you can smell pork, barbecue pork, and you have barbecue for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's delicious. But by the time the week was up, I was like, give me a lettuce. I can't have no more meat. But it was wonderful, and I think I gained 40 pounds. So anyway, yay, Major League. I'm going to bring my sons in so we can talk about another sports event that's going on now. And I think they might have an interesting take on it, or maybe they don't. Maybe they might be boring. I don't know. Anyway, but we're going to talk to my... First, I want to bring in my oldest son. My oldest son was the host of the show, and he is a stand-up comedian that I met first with Rain Pryor. He was working. I wasn't doing stand-up then. He was doing stand-up, and I saw him with Rain Pryor, and I thought he was very funny. And I was glad when he showed up as the host of the show I was doing at the LA Comedy Club. And so we've been working together since then. He's working. He gave me some credits, but I don't know what they are. But I'm going to tell you that he is also producing the Book of Marcia, and he's doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And we really had a good time in Los Angeles at the cemetery, which is another story for another time when we did the Book of Marcia about a month ago. So anyway, Stephen, very funny man. I'm going to bring you out right now. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my oldest son, Stephen Roberts.
Yeah, you got skills on.
Well, leave their skills there anyway. So now that we have Stephen here, we're going to introduce my problem child. I love him so much. He's my youngest. Look. See, he's drinking bath water out of a jug. And you have Aunt Karen's. Is that Aunt Karen?
The rinse it down.
I'm eating lima bean casserole.
Ooh, did you add raisins and Velveeta?
And cherries.
Ooh. So anyway, my younger son, he'd be cute. Look at him over there with a smile. He's adorable. Anyway. He's my problem child because he's the baby, and so he needs all the attention. But he is, look at him, Juneteenth. Power to the people. Anyway, he is working at, he has his own show at Jimmy Kimmel's here. They're both Vegas-based with me, and he has his own show on Friday nights. Show those skills. And on top of that, he is the opening act for Lunel, my sister girl, also at Jimmy Kimmel's. And he's traveling all around the country. He's going to be at Riddles, aren't you? Going to Riddles? And you can talk. It's okay. You can talk.
21st and 22nd.
Okay. He's going to Riddles in Chicago. I was there earlier this year. Anyway. He's here and I love him to death. He's my baby comedy boy. Give hey, him a hand and say hello to Skills.
Marsha first.
We have a song, but thanks so much. Anyway, now that I have you here, you're having lima bean casserole and you're having, you got a squisher or some Skills? You got a swisher or something going?
Yeah, I had it going.
It's gone. It's gone. This is cannabis and cognac. That's a feature of the show. I mean, so, you know.
It's yes. I'm going to be partaking. It's just how my living quarters is set up.
You have to go outside. Yeah. We can't do it inside. Yeah. I do it inside. I don't care.
I can do it inside, just not inside.
Okay, that's fine. That's enough explanation. I don't want to have nobody visiting you in uniform. So I wanted to talk to y'all since we're here together and have known each other. Let's just talk about some things in the news. Caitlin Clark. And there's this controversy where people are saying, well, Caitlin Clark is now getting all the attention just because she's white and that blackness has become a racial issue and all that kind of stuff. And then you add a hard foul, and now everybody's having a conversation. What say you, Skills?
I'd say that Caitlin is cold. She is a cold player, but I've been watching the WNBA for the last 3 years, right? So I was a big fan and still a big fan of Aja Wilson. She plays for the championship Aces, Las Vegas Aces here. And she averages 28 points a game, 15 rebounds, and 3 assists. Nobody's really talking about her, you know what I'm saying? And Caitlin, I start hearing about Caitlin because of the championship game with her and Angel Reese, you know what I'm saying, for Tennessee. I think it was Tennessee, but Angel Reese. So I just look at it as that she's getting all the stuff that you would get as a rookie, but because it's getting embellished because she's white, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, they should let them play.
Okay. Steven, do you know anything about this topic?
I like figure skating.
Oh, goody. Well, there's not going to be figure skating in the Olympics, but it's coming up and you might see some rhythmic gymnastics.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. Happy Pride. Synchronized swimming.
Yes, and...
He didn't even say that he's seen Caitlin take a shot. He just said, I like sticker.
Well, it's pride. It's pride.
Yes. Oh,
let him have his happy pride. We can pride share.
You. And Juneteenth are in the there same month. That we are not a wrong reason.
We have that together, and I have that with you. It's serendipity.
Have pride, too. Have pride.
You should. Listen, I was wondering if we were going to talk about that guy that called her a white bee.
Which guy?
Oh, has she been called a white bee?
The
football player. Yeah.
The ex-football player.
What's his
name? Ex-football player.
Yeah, and he called her a white bee.
Which one? Which ex-football figure?
I'm finding out. Hold on real quick.
I watched it. Well, I'll let you come.
Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee
called her a white bee, and he said it like, look at that white bee go. Like, that white bee is really playing hard.
But did you see the context of it, though?
He was complimenting her.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, he was complimenting.
But he did. He did say a bit. But yeah, but it was a compliment.
Years ago, I believe it was Howard Cosell was watching. I can't remember exactly who it was. Was watching somebody run back a long run, you know, to the end zone, and he was going. He's at the look at that little monkey go. And said that out loud, not thinking. And you could tell the way he said it, he was not being offensive in his mind, but it just stopped everything. It was one of those moments. So I can imagine how that played out in this instance. But people are saying well, it's not fair to add the racial element. Nobody did it when Magic was playing against Larry Bird. And I'm like, you know, it's great when you don't have social media and the internet and people can have short memories. Not only was it a racial issue at the time, it was a racial issue citywide. Both cities had their own racial identities that they glommed onto. And so, of course, it was a big deal. And anybody who criticized Larry Bird was racist. And you, I mean, it was just, it was pretty much the same thing. Do you think it's going to help? Going to elevate the WNBA in a similar manner as Magic? And,
I believe it is, because it already has because of her, but also a lot of the other players that are very good, like Angel Reeves, Asia, the lady that from Chicago Sky, that the one that fouled Caitlin Hart.
Yeah, she don't seem to have no apology in her.
She puts you in the mind of like a, she's like a Rodman. That's her position. She's a forward, but she doesn't score a lot, but she grabs a lot of rebounds. And she said, she's like, I'm a dog. You know what I'm saying? And
well, I didn't look like a hard.
Can I say this, Mom?
But I don't know how the league is calling them now. When I was watching in NBA basketball, that was pretty much just a hard foul. They were throwing each other all over the court back then. So I don't know if they've if the rules have changed now to where they protect the players more. But Rodman and those guys,
they try to protect some of the better players more. But they also try to see like they spin this narrative, because they don't show all the clips. Because if you watch some of the stuff before, you'll see like Caitlin coming around picks and she'll be giving elbows. She, like when she hits shots, she'd be talking trash to him. And just, it's good. That's what you do as a basketball player. But they're not showing that part. They just showing the retaliation towards her after the fact.
Okay. I got you. We're going to move on though from that. We're going on my social media. We've been talking about America's love of Aunt Jemima. People actually really care for this character and are invested in it as if it was not a racist meme based on a racist meme based on slavery. So, given the history and how it still impacts us, what do you think about taking Aunt Jemima off the pancake box? Stephen?
Yes?
Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, well, you and I were having dinner the other day with our spouses, and we were talking about cornbread, and I said, my mother swears by Aunt Jemima cornbread. And I said to you, have you ever tried it? And you said to me, no, we never had Aunt Jemima in our household ever. And I went, I'm so embarrassed. And then I was like, well, no, because it's true. That's what my mom did. And we don't have Aunt Jemima in our house, in my husband and my house. We don't have that there. And I recognize that that is a horrible, horrible racist emblem that we should change. We should change it.
And we have changed it. And that has its own...
they changed it, but they still called it Aunt Jemima.
No, now it's Pearl Mining Company.
Oh, yeah, it's Pearl Mining. And I did some this morning.
Like the Commanders, right? Yeah, Pearl, you changed what? The name, but the people are still upset, like the Civil War, you know, is over.
Yeah.
One of that loss, but they're still fighting it. And people are still fighting the Aunt Jemima Wars, and they shouldn't have never took it off the box. And the lady who was played Aunt Jemima didn't get all her money. And there were hundreds of women who played Aunt Jemima. They hired
it. And here's my Dixie flag for everybody to see next to my Aunt Jemima pancake mix. Right?
But I mean, we never had it. We had Jiffy and Biscuit. We never had Aunt Jemima. My mother didn't allow it in the house for one thing. And
of course not. Why would you? We don't let Chick-fil-A in our house.
A lot of people did. That wasn't
there. Yeah, we had it in our house, but it was the pancakes, though. And I knew nothing about it until I got to the age of, you know what I'm saying, to start hearing things. But other than that, man, them pancakes was amazing. And I didn't know nothing about
it. We didn't have
the racial undertone. But I didn't know nothing about the racial undertones. I just know them crispy corners.
No, they didn't tell us. They didn't in my family, but we didn't have it. We didn't have Uncle Ben's. We didn't have nothing that had anything that might bring up those unsavory images. So,
see, with white people, we knew that we could use just the name Aunt Jemima in a racist way. And to me, as a sensitive kid, I didn't like that brand just because of what it represented. And you have to say the name, and the name was, it felt awful to say that name, just to say it. Because, you know, white people use that name to say, to, you know, to hurt people.
Yes. Well, so, I think we don't pay enough attention to the people who, oh, and, you know, the squeaky wheels get all of the attention. And so those who are outraged and upset and whatever, they get all of the attention. And we never hear about the white people who were uncomfortable or who did not find that comforting and appealing. So, I think it's great that you mentioned that. But as we move on, and I think I've lost my problem child. I don't know where he went.
He probably went to the potty.
He went to the potty. Okay.
Probably.
Anyway.
He likes to post his pictures of him on the potty all the time. So
I don't understand. I don't understand. You know, a part of me as mommy feels proud.
Turn the volume up.
What?
I was trying to
by taking the picture away, you thought that you were going to turn up the sound? Really? Anyway, let's move on. Okay. So the ex-pretendent has been convicted of 34 felonies. And he says this makes him more relatable to Black men, and so therefore his support in the Black community has gone up. I call bullshit. However, howsomever, I have a Black man here who can give an opinion, and I have an all-American gay man who can give an opinion because his opinion counts just as much as everybody else. So, Skills, my son, my problem child, my love. What say you, honey?
Man, this guy, man. He way out, man. I mean, I have no interest in him, no what, but it's brothers out there that is talking, they say they'd rather take him over Biden still. And I'm like, why? Even not the relation of the 34 felons, because I'm like, how can you relate to that? Because you can't get a job if you're a felon. You know what I'm saying? He, you know what I'm saying? So what is the relation of he's hypocritical and everything. He's a big bully. Anything that comes wrong, he's saying that it's rigged. Everything but is rigged. Black
and you have 34 felonies. Ain't no question about whether you're going to jail. There's no question about being treated fairly or what. He'd have been in jail, in solitary confinement, a way he might have got lost. We might never know where he is. So the whole being convicted felon makes him relatable to Black men logic. That math don't math.
Yeah, at all.
But are you a Trump fan, Mr. Stephen?
Oh, yes. I'm a Trump fan. Really? Really? If I could
What's it like, quote, though? I mean, okay, you know, you walk around in the street and you run up on a group of Trump fans and they don't know your politics. How do you...
No, but the moment I open my mouth, the necklace falls out. So they know exactly. There's no, I don't pass.
Okay.
But here's what I would say. If I could quote our current president, come on, man. Like, this is the most ridiculous thing. I will tell you this. What I'm hearing from a lot of the pundits and a lot of the talking heads right now is they're saying, be prepared that Donald Trump is not going to get incarcerated because he is first-time felon, believe it or not. He's never been convicted before. He's 77 years old.
Yes.
And he is, anybody else with that particular thing, and for all intents and purposes, a white-collar crime, most of people in those categories would be going to house arrest or get suspended sentence. However, you bring up a really good point, and that is, what if a Black man committed the very same crimes, would he be going to jail? Unequivocally, without argument.
He'd have been in jail. It wouldn't have been no question. None of these questions would have been asked or entertained. It just is, there's no comparison. So,
unless he was really famous, if he was a very famous Black man, that's the only thing that would have saved him.
Yeah, for a minute. Yeah, maybe. Which brings up another topic we ain't going to touch because it's too messy and we'll save that for Club Station.
What is it? Tease us. What is the subject that we're not going to go into?
Oh, come on. What's been in the news all month? Diddy.
Take that.
Take that. What are you doing?
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Why is this person in our lives? You could not write a character like her and sell it to the public. Unless she was the punching bag villain that everybody just kicked as they walked by, there's no way you could sell that character to anyone. She's so, in the words of James Brown, loud and wrong. So how does she get away with being Marjorie Taylor Greene without being put in her place more often than she is, like when Jasmine Crockett, is that her name? Jasmine Crockett? Yeah. Said, you know, I was with her until she said Butch back. I mean, why you gotta, you know, put me in that? I ain't in that. She can have a big back that ain't butch.
She does look butchy. She does look butchy, though.
Yeah.
Marjorie Greene?
Yeah.
You know, Marjorie Greene definitely got the horse vaccine because that is a handsome woman, I'm telling you right now. I mean, anybody. Come on, that looks like a professional wrestler.
For us to talk about than the way she looks.
Sorry,
but my point is, why is she in Congress? Why is she affecting our lives on a daily basis? There's just no rationale that makes sense. In a normal world, you know, she doesn't make sense.
Well, she's just like her boss. I mean, she has followed her boss's code. He found the key to waking up that basket of deplorables. She's just plugged herself into those same people by saying the same trigger words and the same dog whistles as he does. And they don't care about all the things they say. They don't care about the things that they do. They really don't care. They want to be in power. And that's why they say the things that they do.
I get that. But there's a certain performance aspect,
of course,
to Trump, to most of his acolytes. You know, you don't really believe them because they're bad actors. Marjorie Taylor Greene is fully committed. She's fanatical, and it just there's no, she's not kidding. These things.
Yeah, but so is he. He's totally committed.
He's not. He does. He's committed to his narcissism.
Yes.
But anything else out of his mouth is just, he might say anything.
You think that she believes half the things that come out of her own mouth?
Believes everything that comes out of her own
mouth. I don't know if that's true or not. I think it's more, my opinion is that I think she has, like him, figured out how to rile everybody up. And she has figured out how to stay on the headlines, call people liars from the gallery.
Yeah, she was nobody. Interrupt, we didn't know.
Yeah, and insult Dr. Fauci by not calling him doctor, calling him Mr.
Fauci.
Do all of that kind of stuff to keep herself in the limelight. She's just like Ted Cruz. She's just like the rest of them.
She has a certain, a more venomous commitment.
I agree with that.
I mean, she is like, you know, I think a lot of this is performative. I think they figured out this is how you do it, and this is what we do. This is the script we're going to follow. She's off that script. She's into a whole nother dimension of that script. She's like, they think she's off the rails.
Yeah, they call her a white bee.
Well, you know.
Pat McAfee's like, that's a real white bee.
If you could be anything in the world that you dream of, what would you be right now? Skills.
Basketball player in the NBA.
The WNBA?
No. I'll be digging Caitlin up. Come on. Come on, white bitch.
What did she do? What's the gesture she did? Anyway,
my basketball player.
Okay.
A top player. You know what I'm saying? In the NBA.
I can just see you against Shaq.
Against Shaq? Wait a minute. Why I got to go against
going hard in the paint?
Wait a minute. Why couldn't it have been Jordan?
Isaiah, why have you got to be the biggest, swolest?
You want to be a top basketball player.
I know, but Jordan, Kobe.
Jordan, you going to play Jordan.
You just asked me, my, well, I would be better than Jordan's. I
would you would be better than
okay. Yes.
You didn't put that caveat into it, so now I understand.
Well, Steven, I thought,
Now that we know we have an NBA superstar in our midst, if you could be anything you wanted to be in the world, what would you be?
I would just like to be a top.
Happy Pride.
Thank you. Okay. Right. What would I really like to be? You know, I was asked this by my professor years ago when I was in college. He was a Tony Award-winning playwright. He said, if you could be anything you want, what would you be? And I said, a figure skater. I've always felt like that.
You've been obsessed with figure skating.
All my life.
Your whole life. Can you skate?
I do. I don't ice skate. They didn't have ice skating rinks where I lived. So I was a
pair of roller skates
on the basketball court in my backyard that my father built, hoping I would be a basketball player. My father was a college ball player. What? Yeah.
In my neighborhood, that would make you rich. You had a basketball court in your backyard. You had a backyard. Okay. Obviously.
It was a half court. He poured it himself with concrete and set up the whole thing. He was a college ball player.
Our dads never went to places like Home Depot and stuff and got, you know, equipment that they could ride. No, it just didn't happen. Anyway, if I could be anything I wanted to be in the world, I would be queen of the Marshaverse. So I am living my purpose right now. I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be.
Wait a minute. Fantasy
league.
It's a fantasy, and then you ended up with where I'm living, where I was. Wait a minute.
Yeah, we are too.
Where did I get to judge my answer come in? That wasn't in the script.
That was smooth as hell too, Bob.
Yeah, we feel bamboozled. We feel a little bamboozled here. What
is the name of the show?
The Marshaverse.
Okay, shut the fuck up then. Don't be sitting up talking about I get to do all kind of shit. It's my show. Damn. If you only had 1 hour left to live, how would you spend that final hour? Steven?
I would be having sex.
With an ice skater?
On the rink. On the ice.
With your roller skates and skate feet.
I got
a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. Okay, you'd be having sex on the ice. This is really getting bizarre.
My Zamboner.
Okay, skills. You have an hour to live. What are you doing?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
edit. You say that.
You're gonna need just more
jokes.
Than
just jokes. It's just jokes. We could do anything in the Marshaverse.
Rewind. All right.
We could do. Well, I'll be smoking weed while I'm doing it.
Oh well, that makes it right. One last question.
I was a car, I'd be a Cadillac.
Not a public limo.
Are we talking about family, or you want me to be truthful? Yeah, I'll be a public limo then. What's your next stop is, ma'am?
I was just getting my little dig in. That's all.
Everybody don't need to know.
Everybody don't need to know. You get ready to send them to skillsfacebook.com. Shit, it's all over there. Just like that t-shirt. Get one of these t-shirts. Everybody in America got one of these t-shirts. Get one because they're nice. Anyway, Steven, you're a car. What kind of car are you?
A Woody. You know those what? Surfer?
A Woody. He's a Woody.
You know those
He's
surfer?
He's a figure skating Woody.
What's a Woody?
No, I would be one of those beach What's a wagons. Woody? Yeah, no, they're called Woodies.
What's a Woody?
It's a beach wagon. It's, if you look it up, they
It's
they
an erection.
Well, that was the joke part, but the truth is I would like to be a Woody. There's those wood paneled station wagons that carry a surfboard. I love those cars. That's true.
In Chicago, they just carried kids in the back.
No, yeah, that's wrong, that's Steven. I see you as a scooter.
Aw. Do I look like a scooter?
A little figure skating scooter.
Figure skating scooter. If I was a car, I would probably be a Bentley.
Whoa.
Big, luxurious. You could ride in comfort. All the bells and whistles. Yeah. And more than you can probably afford. So that's what I would be. I dream big. I dream of owning the universe. I dream of Marsha versus and women being in charge. And things that have not been but should be or have been and we just don't know about it. So I like to dream big. In fact, the idea for this show came about. We were supposed to do it on my birthday. And we were going to have a global chill out day where I was going to ask for world peace. Because why not? When people ask you, what do you want for your birthday? I don't want a pair of shoes. I don't want a new hat. I want world peace. I want people to stop fighting, to like each other, to love each other, to be nice, you know? And so we just got, and I say we because everybody, all of y'all, we all got so caught up in my whole birthday month. The whole first of this year was so hectic for me. And it was overwhelming on my birthday. I was working on Night Court and they were being very, very, very nice to me. And I was just it was too overwhelmed to stream a show. And we're still not streaming live because we're still working this thing out. It's a good thing we're not. But but I am glad that we had this time together. And I'm glad that I got to share it with. Look at those smiles. Y'all are adorable. Look just alike. You look just like me. Anyway, with my
y'all got glasses.
Yeah, I know, with my two comedy sons. Thank you both for joining me. Skills, you're going to be at Jimmy Kimmel's?
Yeah, this Friday. This Friday.
And then? Come on, tell it all.
This Friday, I'm at Jimmy Kimmel's each Friday. Sunday and Monday, I open for Lunella, Jimmy Kimmel's. And next Friday, I'll be opening for the Fall Back in Love comedy and music tour at the Thomas Mack Center.
Okay, well, nice. Go ahead. And Steven?
Well, I'll be at Jimmy Kimmel's on the 15th, which is a Saturday, at the late night show. And then I'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Looney's Comedy Corner, taping my 30-minute special with open bar comedy. They're you can find them on YouTube, and then I'll be there for the rest of the weekend, and then I'll be at Brad Garrett's on the 1st of July for the next 4 days after that. 1st to the 4th, yeah. So
thank you so
catch
much
me all those places. Yeah, hey, thank you for having us on. You know, we would follow you. We would follow you to the ends of the earth.
Well, you've been invaluable to me, and I appreciate you and love you.
Wait, follow where? Follow to where?
To the ends of the earth.
I'm not talking to you no more. Voice of God, hello. Thank you so much for being here. And where are you going to be next?
I will be an extra in a student film tomorrow.
Yay.
Well, yay. An extra in a film.
Get it, Natural Breeze.
Right. Thank you. I am not an air freshener.
You ought to get that on a t-shirt.
I am not an air freshener.
Anyway, on behalf of Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings, lima bean casserole in a can, thank you so much for joining us. And next week, Aunt Karen will be bringing us a new dish from her Suburban Seasonings line. Thank you. And I hope you enjoy this as much as we did.
I think we lost.
See you next week with a brand new show. Bye.